Sometimes we walk through the valley and we are crying out to God with all of our heart, asking God to do something. We are bombarding the gates of heaven. We are telling people to pray for us. We are asking others to pray for us. And we are just crying out with all of our heart unto God. And it seems like heaven is just silent. It just seems like, you know, there's no response from heaven. And it's almost like, you know, when you go and you want to slap somebody five or give them a high five and they don't see you or they just ignore you. And it's what do we say? Man, you just left me hanging. You just left me hanging. And sometimes, you know, we can, you know, cry out to God with all of our heart, and it seems like God has just left us hanging.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Valley of Silence, which is based on Psalm chapter 23. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of Psalm chapter 23 as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Valley of Silence.
I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. And I kind of like to start out there and move around into some various scriptures. But we've been doing a series on prayer. We have made prayer the focus of this year and how we want to take it to another level. And so as we come, we want to continue on with this theme and with this thought. And I'd like to share with you, as we relate to prayer, some of the experiences that I've gone through in reference to prayer, and hopefully it'll help some people out this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, well, I'm not in that situation, you know, and we pray that you don't get in that situation, but if you're here long enough, the possibility are that you might get in that situation. And then if you know somebody that's going through a time of what we will be addressing this morning, you can take this message and you can share it with them, because I think it'll help somebody, because I want to speak to you this morning from my heart. And I want to speak to you how I guess I was feeling. And sometimes, you know, it's always good to talk about where we are, because in the good times, it's easy to praise God. And it's easy to lift up the name of God, and it's easy to shout out, praise the Lord. But sometimes when you go through the valley, it's, you know, the praise times don't flow as easily. And I like to share with you some of that experience, and hopefully in an effort to help others who may be dealing with this or may deal with it. But in Psalm 23:4, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And as we talk about walking through this valley of the shadow of death, I would like to put another spin on that this morning, and not so much look at it as a valley of the shadow of death, but sometimes we walk through this valley, and it's a valley of silence. Sometimes we walk through the valley, and we are crying out to God with all of our heart, asking God to do something. We are bombarding the gates of heaven. We are telling people to pray for us. We are asking others to pray for us. And we are just crying out with all of our heart unto God. And it seems like heaven is just silent. It just seems like, you know, there's no response from heaven. And it's almost like, you know, when you go and you want to slap somebody five or give them a high five, and they don't see you, or they just ignore you, and it's what do we say? Man, you just left me hanging. You just left me hanging. And sometimes, you know, we can, you know, cry out to God with all of our heart, and it seems like God has just left us hanging. And, you know, I went through that, and I just felt that God had left me hanging out there. And you know, I've been dealing with this whole thing since October of last year. And there were times that I just, you know, wondered, God, where in the world are you at? You know, I'm crying out to you, Lord. I'm praying to you, and it seemed like the situation doesn't change. And sometimes you come to the conclusion that heaven is silent, that God is silent. God, why don't you speak up? Why don't you say something, God? And God just lets you hanging. He just leaves you hanging. So I want to talk to you this morning about the valley of silence. You know, how do you handle that? How do you go through that valley of silence in your life? One of the things that I've done throughout this experience that I've gone through is journal and write down where I've been. I mean, I've been on an emotional roller coaster, and I know that, and I'm going to be honest, you know, I'm just going to be raw because I know that this is real, and maybe I can help somebody out today, that there were days that I got an A, and there were days that I got an F. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know that there were days I didn't want to talk to God. I didn't want to read the word. I was frustrated. I was angry. And so, you know, it was just this emotional roller coaster that I was on. And one of the days that I went through this, I wrote this in my journal. Lord, I'm so disheartened by the reoccurrence of this leg problem. Where is Jehovah Rapha? It seems like the situation is worse than even the first time. Even after receiving surgery, I'm still receiving multiple pockets of infection and spreading inflammation. I've had so many problems with blowing IVs and blowing out veins and mistreatments and all these different medications that I've been taking, and they don't seem to be working. Lord, it just seems like there's some kind of force that's working against my healing. Lord, have I done something so wicked to deserve all this? Or is this an attack by the enemy? Or have I not been doing what you've told me to do? Or is there another lesson in this, Lord, that I have to learn? Lord, I cried out to you at various points on this illness journey, and it seems like you're just silent. Can I get a little bit of help in this healing process? Or am I going to have to be like the Apostle Paul and have a thorn in the flesh for the rest of my life? Lord, I will continue to trust you every day, even until the day that I die. But Lord, I can honestly see how some people turn away from you. I guess I'm like the disciples. When many of them left following Jesus, he turned and asked the disciples, "Will you go also?" And Peter responded, "Lord, where are we going to go?" Lord, I guess that's my situation. Where am I going to go? You are the only one that has the words of life. Lord, then I think about the people in Haiti who have lost their limbs and even their lives. And Lord, I say, well, who am I? Lord, the old boy is struggling right now. I need you to help me. Lord, I sure could use a little bit of help. Is this the meaning of the poem Footprints that says maybe I've given up and I'm only going on your energy because you are carrying me? And that was at the height of just the frustration that I was dealing with after having surgery on my leg and coming home, thinking that that I'm going to start healing, only to see three big pockets of infection beginning to develop again. And realizing now I got to go back and go to the hospital again and have more surgery. And even after going back and having more surgery and coming out and seeing more pockets of infection develop, it just became a very frustrating experience. And I just began to think, after all the x-rays, the CT scans, the IVs, the blown veins, I've been tested. I've had blood drawn over 30 times for tests that they did. I had the needle infiltrate my body about 4 or 5 times, and I had to call the nurse, and they had to come out and take the needle out. Right now, I got 7 holes in my leg. 7 holes. One was the size of an eyeball dug out in my leg. And I've, over this process, I've taken seven different medications. And right now, I'm on prednisone, which is a form of steroids. So I'm eating like a racehorse and gaining weight. And so, I mean, this has been a very frustrating and discouraging experience. And like I said, there's been days when, you know, I didn't even want to pray. I didn't want to talk to God. There were days that I was angry with God. And as I moved through this journey, you know, one of the most frustrating things is to realize that God was silent. Just to be in this valley and just be out there dealing with all this and to have the silence of God. And it was ironic because, you know, there was one morning I was watching a Christian television program, and, you know, I just was wanting people to pray, and they said, you know, call in. They gave a number on the screen, and they said, call in if you want prayer. And I wrote the number down, and I called the number and was going to ask, you know, somebody to pray with me. And when I called in, they said that, you know, the calling area that you are in cannot reach this number. And I was thinking, wow, you know, this is really, and this is if I called the name of the ministry, it's a major ministry. And I you know, I said, man, I'm desperate. I'm calling in. I can't even get any help through the prayer ministry. And as I began to, you know, reflect on my situation, if you'll go to that next slide, you know, I found that, you know, there are many people in the Word of God, righteous people, that have experienced silence from God. They've cried out to God and they've experienced silence. Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job asked the question, you know, Lord, where can I find you? Lord, I've lost my possessions. Lord, I've lost my family. And now, Lord, I've lost my health. I'm sitting out here on a dump. I'm scraping pus off of my skin. Lord, where can I go at least and have an audience with you? Lord, why are you silent? Why are you backing up at this time, Lord? Why are you letting me go through this and I can't hear from you? David said, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever. How long will thou hide thy face from me? I said, Lord, this has been since October. Lord, I'm not getting any better. The doctors are not telling me anything. They're not letting me know what is going on, where this is coming from. Lord, every time I go, they treat the symptoms. I get cut. I get put on medicine. But nobody's telling me how to get better. How long, oh Lord, are you going to let this go on? And even as I reflected on Martha and Mary, and they asked Jesus to come, and Jesus didn't show up right away, and in the process, Lazarus died, and they cried out, and they said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And they cried out to God in the midst of their frustration. And then there were the tribulation saints who saw themselves being martyred for the cause of Christ, and they saw the wicked and the ungodly walking around with their continuing in their wickedness and doing things that were shaking their fist in the hand and the face of God, and they cried out, how long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And so as we look at the Word of God, these are just a few of the people that cried out to God, and it seemed like God was silent. And I don't know what you're going through right now. You know, maybe you're praying for the salvation of a loved one. You know, maybe you're praying for a spouse that is not acting in a manner that would honor humanity. Whatever it is that you're going through, maybe it might be a financial issue, and you've been crying out to God, and it just seems like God is silent. It seems like God is just not saying anything at all. I found this quote by C.S. Lewis, and it just I guess this kind of summarized where I was at in this whole thing. And Lewis says this, meanwhile, where is God? This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, if you turn to him with praise, you will be welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You might as well turn away. I said, wow. I mean, that's so true. That when you deal with your humanity and you deal with your frustrations and you go to God and you cry out to Him, and then it's that deafening sound of the door's locked. And not only is it locked, but it's double bolted. And you're just left there in the midst of your loneliness and silence. The great frustration in all of this is this. And saints, this is what got me right here, and this is what did me in, is that the great frustration is knowing that God is all powerful and He is not making your situation better. And I tried to get my mind around that. And I tried to say, you know, Lord, you know, you're supposed to be Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you've healed people of cancer. Lord, you've healed people of all other kind of infirmities. And you mean to tell me that you can't take care of an infection on my leg? You can't do that, God? And that even frustrated me that much more to realize that this all-powerful God who has all power in His hand, who raises dead people, who heals the sick, who gives sight to the blind, that He would not work in this situation. And then I began to think about people who talk about, you know, divine healing, and they say, you know, God is able to heal you. He's a divine healer. And I'm sitting, and you know what? I guess the most frustrating thing for me is that, you know, when you go to the hospital and you have some surgery, you think that after that you can, you know, begin the restoration process. You can begin the healing process, and that would have been all right. And I would have been absolutely all right with that. That would have been cool. But not to heal. To come and not heal at all. And not only not heal, but even to get worse. And then to look, and every day I pray, God, you got to do something. God, touch this situation. Oh, God, pour your power. I'm doing everything that people told me to do, everything doctors told me to do. And Lord, come on, you got just a little bit of help here, God, just a little bit of help. And that was my prayer. You know, God, just give me a little bit of help. And even now, I'm still dealing with a couple. I'm still dealing with every day. And it just gets to be a little disheartening, a little frustrating. But I realize that God is God, and above Him, there is no other. And I came to this theological perspective, and the theological perspective is this. Our perspective, we want God to direct His power toward making our situation better. That's what we want. And then, you know, I begin to think about, well, what about the people, you know, in Haiti? You know, some people have died, and some people have lost their limbs. And now you, in Chile, you know, we see that, you know, there's an earthquake down there, and people have been ravished in that country. And then we come to the conclusion and say, well, you know, I guess my situation really isn't that bad. And so just for a little while, you know, it's just like they said, you know, I complained about not having any shoes, and then I saw the man that had no feet. And, you know, for a little while, just for a little while, your mind is shifted off of whatever you're dealing with. But you know what? It comes right back. It smacks you in the face. And you're faced with dealing with it again. And you're back to the situation. You know, God, you are all powerful. How come you don't do something about my situation? In the book of, turn it with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And in Genesis chapter 32, we read the account of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And Jacob wrestles with this angel and won't let him go. And finally, we see that the angel touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. And as a result of that, you know, he changed his name and gave him a a standing in the kingdom of God. And in verse 29, look what Jacob says. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou that dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And I was doing some research and found out that Jacob, the reason that Jacob, you know, asked God his name, and we see in another situation, you don't have to turn there, Judges 13, 17, where Manoah asked God what was his name. And during ancient times, what people believed was that there was a powerful force that surrounded them, and that if they could tap into this force, and like Jacob, Jacob thought that he had tapped into this force, that he had wrestled with God, and then it's thought that after you tap into this force by wrestling with God, that if you ask this deity, or if you ask this power, if you ask this source, what is your name? And this deity, this God, tells you what his name is. Then after that, any other time that you need it, all you need to do is call the name of that deity, and then that power will be available to you. And I was looking at my perspective, and I came to the conclusion, what was I trying to do? I was trying to be like Jacob. I was trying to be like Manoah. I was trying to be like the ancient people, and I want to harness the power of God and bring it into my situation and then use it however I want to, whenever I want to. But you know what I found out? God don't work like that. And I had to come to the conclusion that God doesn't work like that. I can't go out as some name it, claim it, blab it, grab it people will have you believe, that you can go out and grab the power of God and you can use it however you want to use it. Just not so. Well, or it wasn't so in my particular situation. And so I realized from God's perspective is that sometimes God will direct his power toward making the situation better, and sometimes he will not direct it toward making it better. Sometimes God will look at the situation and he will pour out his power and he will change that situation, and then other times God will just be there and just watch you go through that situation. And I have to say that I haven't fully grasped that yet, but as I grasp that more and more, I become more content with my situation. I become more accepting of my situation. Because you see, there's one thing that I realize, and that is God is sovereign. And as much as I would love to harness the power of God, to bring God's power down, to say, what is your name? To go back in the past when God has done great things in my life, and I've seen God do miraculous things in my life, and to ask God, what was your name when you provided in this situation? What was your name when you provided in that situation? And be able to call that name on this situation and bring the power of God in this situation. God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Man, I began to look and say, Lord, am I dealing with this because I treated somebody a certain way back when I was saved, and now am I getting paid back for it? Lord, is there something you told me to do that I haven't done? God, or is this Satan attack? I just went through all kind of stuff, and I just wanted it to be over. I just wanted the power of God to come on this situation and take it away. But there's one thing that I realize, and that is, God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were blessed by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Valley of Silence. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Valley of Silence, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Valley of Silence or program number 100228. That's 877-831-5060 and request The Valley of Silence or program number 100228. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.